Hey, it's great to see you all. Hello. Welcome here in person. Welcome to the folks online. Glad you're with us today. We're going to have some fun today because we're going to talk about heroes. Heroes are important, even superheroes. Wonder Woman, Superman, you know, we've got Black Panther and Captain America, folks who are full of virtue and character and who use their powerful gifts for good, to do their duty. And you know, in the Bible, we have heroes too. Absolutely. People that we look up to. You've got Ruth and Deborah and Esther. You've got Moses and David and Elijah, heroes of the faith. You know, folks that point to Jesus. Jesus, the ultimate hero. Today is the last Sunday of the month, and on the last Sunday of the month, we like to talk about people in the Old Testament, in the first half of the Bible, and how their lives point to Jesus, the ultimate hero. That's what we do on the last Sunday. And today, though, we're going to talk about a guy who really isn't a hero. He's more of an anti-hero. Anti-heroes are super popular today, too. You've got, what's that woman that in the movie today? Black Widow, that's it. Black Widow, you've got Han Solo, Wolverine, and, you know, even Deadpool. Folks who aren't always virtuous, who don't always care what's good, but end up doing good, right? And even despite the fact that they have bad motives and flawed characters, that's the story of Samson. We're talking about Samson today. Samson was like a legit superhero. You know, haircuts were his kryptonite. And he had super strength and more. In reading about Samson, I love the way that the pastor in Texas, Tony Evans, described Samson. He says, "This boy would have the power of Superman in the feats that he would perform. I mean, he would have the daring of Bruce Willis dealing with folks who don't want to do good. Yet he would have the debonair of Denzel Washington." Imagine that. Samson was every man's nightmare and every woman's dream because he had it all going on. Yeah, Samson had it all going on. He was a superhero and he was full of himself. He was selfish and prideful. He had sex with everyone. He made jokes about killing people. He was an anti-hero. And his life definitely pointed to Jesus. We'll get to that in a minute. First, though, let's talk a little more about the fact that heroes are important. How we view heroes and whether we think about ourselves as a hero. It's not just childish entertainment. This makes a difference in our lives. Humans have always had heroes. And it's always been a thing that we look up to them, right? We're inspired by them. We look at them and we go, oh yeah, I could have good character, right? I could use my gifts for good. I can rise up and answer my call and do my duty. And it's also always been a thing that we have failed at that. That we've even resented the weight of heroism on us, of duty, right? Superman, that guy always does the right thing. I mean, how do you relate to a person like that? So we lift up anti-heroes, you know, flawed individuals that it's easier for us to relate to, you know? Don't worry about purity and, you know, virtue, right? We want people who are authentic. We want heroes who have personal vision, who do what's best for them, and hopefully they do some good for humanity along the way. Okay, so the question is, which path is better? Hero worship or hero deconstruction? Now, I'm a pastor, so you're probably expecting me to tell you, to warn you, that hero deconstruction, that's just a sad consequence of our self-indulgent, you know, relativistic culture. And it is. And that we need to get back to, you know, virtue and duty, and we do. But neither hero worship, where we try to make ourselves perfect, nor hero deconstruction, where we relativize and downplay all our flaws, neither of them are what we need. Both of them will destroy us. We need a different path forward. We need the way of Jesus. Yeah, we need a crazy, better, different way, the way of Jesus. And that's what we're going to unpack today. And to do that, we'll look at Samson's story. And also, to change our perspective, we'll look at heroes from God's perspective, how he's inviting us to be heroes. Yeah, so grab a Bible. Samson's story, it's in Judges. It starts in chapter 13. It's on page 173 in the Bibles we have here. You know, grab your Bible at home. You can follow along. Let me pray, and then we'll dive in and read this superhero story. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. And I thank you that you love us enough to empower us to be heroes. I ask today that we can answer that call, that we can leave here differently than we came. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so Samson's story starts in Judges chapter 13, the opening scene of Samson's story in verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." All right, here's where it starts, with God picking, with him setting apart and empowering a superhero for a mission. And Samson's mission is pretty clear, right? He's to deliver, to save his people, the Israelites, from the Philistines. And Samson gets started in a pretty untraditional way. He cruises for chicks amongst the Philistines. He marries a Philistine girl, and then he kills and tears apart a lion with his bare hands. And then he bets the Philistines that they can't solve a riddle. Now, unsurprisingly, his wife betrays him, and he loses the bet, and so hot-headed Samson kills 30 Philistines. They take his wife to get revenge on them. He torches their fields of grain and their vineyards and their olive groves. He actually ties torches to foxes' tails and sends them out, and so the Philistines, they burn to death his wife. Now, chapter 15. Samson said to them, "Since you've acted like this, I swear that I won't stop until I get my revenge on you." He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Do you see how he's an anti-hero? Samson, he cares more about revenge than he does about deliverance. And yet this selfish, womanizing jerk, God's going to use him to save his people from the Philistines. Now I'm in verse 9. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. Basically, Judah is part of Israel. They're invading Israel with an army. That's what these Philistines are doing. The people of Judah, these are the Israelites, asked, "Why have you come to fight us?" "We have come to take Samson prisoner," they answered, "to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?" He answered, "I merely did to them what they did to me." They said to him, "We've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves." "Agreed," they answered. "We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax. The bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men." Yeah, Samson's got a joke about killing people. He's got to be funny, like Deadpool. He's an anti-hero. Okay, let's get back to the fact that God picks, he empowers superheroes for a mission. Samson's mission is clear, right? Deliver, save the Israelites from the Philistines. And it's a really important mission because the Israelites, they kind of liked being ruled by the Philistines. Yeah, they didn't want to upset the Philistines, right? They didn't want their superhero Samson to lead a rebellion. No, they wanted to cooperate with the Philistines, hand Samson over to the Philistines. Because the Philistines weren't that bad, right? They were stable, they were good for business, you know, they had hot chicks to marry. They liked the Philistines. And the Israelites were in danger of losing their culture, of losing their faith, the promise of salvation for the world by being absorbed into, by being assimilated into the Philistines. So God raises up Samson to cause conflict with the Philistines. Today, it makes you wonder, how many of us, how many churches kind of like being ruled by this world rather than being set apart? Maybe we need a little conflict. We need a little internal struggle. We need a little fighting for the truth so we don't get absorbed by this world. So we can be set apart. We can have Jesus as our actual Lord, right? So we can join him in his mission to save this world, to make it perfect again. Also, notice that God, he doesn't just give Samson super strength like a comic book hero. No. Samson's strength comes from verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. And that happens over and over again in Samson's story. God empowers Samson with his spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And if you think about it, it was the same thing with Jesus. Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit leads Jesus, empowers Jesus, raises Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11. The Holy Spirit sets apart Jesus, and Jesus is empowered to do his mission, to deliver, to save the world from sin and death, to make it perfect again. And if you think about it even more, it's kind of the same deal with us. If we're followers of Jesus, are we missing the fact that we have been picked and we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit for God's mission? Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that the Spirit dwells in your midst? And Jesus himself said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth," to the ends of the earth. So, do we believe Jesus? Do we? Do we believe that if we're followers of Jesus, we have the same superpower in us that Samson had in him? That we have been fully empowered to be Jesus' witnesses? Do we live like that's true? Well, when's the last time we had experienced the Holy Spirit's power working through us? Maybe a miracle or a healing or a prophetic word, or it could be that the Holy Spirit gave us the power to forgive someone, to love an enemy, to love across our differences, someone different than us, or to just make this world a more just place. When's the last time we were Jesus' witnesses? We told someone the story of what God's done in our life, or we invited him to come to church or small group, or we just asked someone, "Can I pray for you right now? Holy Spirit, come." and help us to experience your presence and your power. Help us to be set apart, to be different from this world, and help us to be your witnesses, to join in Jesus' mission. Amen. Okay, let's keep pressing in to Samson's story and to how God uses heroes. Samson, he was motivated, right, by anger and revenge and pettiness, but God still uses him. God uses flawed people. And to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines, God didn't need a giant army. He didn't need Gideon's 300 men. He just needed one big dumb idiot. Okay? God only needs one hero. It was true for Samson. It was true for how David defeated Goliath. It was true that God, he defeated sin and death with just one guy, Jesus, the only Son of God. And Jesus did it alone by fighting two battles. Two battles. First, Jesus lived the life that we should have lived. Jesus lived a perfect life. You know, we have our slogan, our tagline here at the Vineyard, love God, love people, period. Yeah, it's good. And Jesus did it every day, all the time. And he could do it because he was 100% God. He could do it. He was never crushed by the weight of heroism and duty, right? He fought that battle and he won. And second, Jesus died the death that we should have died. Sinless Jesus didn't deserve to die, but because he was 100% human, he could choose to die in our place. He could choose to take the punishment that humanity deserved. It says in the Bible, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see how this works? On the cross, Jesus is treated as if he has done all the bad things we will ever do, have ever done, and or ever will do. He gets treated as that all goes on Jesus. So when we start following Jesus, when we believe in him, does that mean that suddenly we're like perfectly wonderful, we're virtuous, and you know, we're just pure? No. Have you met me? Okay? No. What it means is that when we start following Jesus, we are treated as if we live Jesus' life. We get his perfection, his righteousness, his heroism in our account. Okay, let's tie Jesus and Samson together here. They tie together in what kind of heroes God is picking us to be. Like Samson, being a flawed individual, not knowing which way is up, that doesn't stop God from using us, right? We don't need to pretend that we are better than we are. We don't need to say, Lord, use me. I am strong enough. I am good enough to do my duty. No, that's hero worship, and it's not the way of Jesus. On the other hand, if we say, God, use me, even though I am kind of selfish, and I'm going to jump in bed with whoever I want, and I'm going to do my own thing, but use me, God. No, that's hero deconstruction. It's being an anti-hero. That's not the way of Jesus either. So here's the way. Here's the kind of heroes God's asking us to be. And by the way, it's super easy, and it's super hard. It only takes honesty and humility. Those are hard to come by in our world today. So, Lord, I admit that on my own, I'm no hero, right? I do bad things. I'm a mess, right? I'm not good enough, and I am not strong enough to do my duty. And Lord, I am really tempted to either downplay that, minimize it, relativize it, or to just lie to you and tell you that I'm pretend that I'm better than I am. But God, I don't need to do either of those things because of what Jesus did on the cross, right? To treat my mess like it's Jesus's mess. wash it clean with his blood, and treat me like I live Jesus's life. Give me his virtue. Treat me like I have his virtue and his character. And God, you love me now like you love Jesus. You love me now enough to let me play in your kingdom, to be a hero. So I'm in. And I deserve to be in because of what Jesus did, but I want to be in. I want to be more and more like you, Jesus, because I love you, God. Amen. What do you think about that? Are you in? If so, tell God you're in. God can do amazing things through just one hero. Be that hero. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses. Next, Samson was a selfish idiot, but that boy knew how to fight. He racks up a huge body count, right? Even when he lets himself be bound and turned over by the Israelites, he gets himself close so he can do real damage to the Philistines. It's kind of funny, though. The Israelites, they don't want to be saved by Samson. They want to destroy Samson. But by turning him over, it's because they give him to the Philistines, because they try to avoid his salvation, they're saved by him. They make it happen. Isn't that kind of upside down? Kind of like how Jesus went to the cross? And I also love how Samson, you know, he's making the jokes about donkeys, and then it says, when he finished speaking, this is Samson, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath Lehi. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened up a hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he was revived. So the spring was called, oh boy, En-Hakkor, probably, and it is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Okay, I love this little part because I don't think Samson was exaggerating. I think he actually gave everything he had. He gave his life to save them, to deliver the Israelites. Now, God then meets him in his self-sacrifice. Don't get me wrong, though. Samson is still an anti-hero. He's still motivated by revenge and wanting to win, but there's something like upside down here, right? And I think we actually get a glimpse of this in Samson's death as well. This glimpse of this upside down thing. This points to the fact that God's heroes, they fight in a new way. Really, what happens is they unleash the most powerful force in the universe, which is self-sacrificial love. You only get a hint, a glimpse of it with Samson because there's no love, there's just a little sacrifice. But boy, do you see it in Jesus, right? Obviously, Jesus gave, he loved us so much, he gave his life for us. He was willing to go to hell in our place, to experience hell for us. That's self-sacrifice. But there's something deeper there. The heroes in the Old Testament, the heroes in our movies today, they rack up these giant body counts, right? And in our world today, we're offended by all the killing in the Old Testament, but boy, do we love all the killing in our movies, our blockbuster movies. Anyway, Jesus does it different, right? Jesus fights differently. Now, Jesus is no wimp. He's no powder puff, right? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. A few weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 110. And Clint, he talked about how Jesus is our king and he is our warrior. Warrior. And Jesus will bring all of his enemies under his feet. Psalm 110. Make your enemies a footstool for your feet. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead. Heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high. Boy, heaping up bodies and then drinking some water, that's Samson's thing. This is written from that perspective of how to fight, how to have victory. Then the Apostle Paul comes along and he writes this letter to the Ephesians and he draws on Psalm 110 and he shows how that prophecy in Psalm 110 is fulfilled. Paul writes, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him," this Jesus, "to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way." Now, everything is under Jesus's feet, okay? He wins. But the differences between these two points to some powerful things. Paul says, rather than him lifting his head high, Paul talks about how he's head of the church. Rather than him heaping up bodies, filling the world with bodies, the world is filled with his body, the church. Do you see this? In the differences here, Paul is showing us that the Old Testament heroes, they destroyed their enemies by killing them. Well, kind of destroyed them. They were still their enemies, but at least they were dead. And if you didn't kill all of them, I'm sure they were probably really angry about all the killing business. Jesus, though, he has a different way to destroy his enemies, right? He takes his double-edged sword of grace and truth, right? And he doesn't heap up, he doesn't fill the world with bodies. No, what he does is he fills the world with his body, the church, us. Before we started following Jesus, we were his enemies. How did he fight us? He didn't destroy us, right? He didn't kill us. He turned us into his best friends forever, his loving friends that will love him forever. That's the power of self-sacrificial love. It is the most powerful force in the universe. There's no other power that can defeat an enemy without destroying them, that can turn enemies into friends. That's how Jesus fights. That's how he's calling us to fight as his heroes. Jesus says to us, turn the other cheek. He commands us to love our enemies. In Romans 12, it says no to the way that Samson fights, revenge and, you know, returning evil for evil. No, it says that God's heroes today, we're supposed to fight by living at peace with everyone, by actually caring for our enemies' practical needs, feeding them, giving them a drink when they are thirsty. It says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Is that how we fight? Maybe, kind of, sometimes. The Holy Spirit is really good at showing us ways that we can practice self-sacrificial love, ways that we can overcome evil with good. Maybe at work or in business, right? A place where we can take the back seat. We can let others go ahead of us. We can use the power of self-sacrificial love to show our coworkers and our customers and even our competitors that we are different than this world. We are set apart for Jesus. And at home, maybe at home we just need to do the dishes, right? We just need to clean the bathroom without complaining as an act of self-sacrificial love. Yeah, this is in the small stuff. But it's also in the big stuff, right? Maybe God's inviting us to adopt a child or help plant a church or to love people that are different than us in a new way, love across our differences. What's the Holy Spirit inviting us to do? Many of us today, many of us are anxious, right? We're a little upset. Because this world is so divided, is so polarized, right? It's gotten so tribal. There's this us versus them mentality. And we've even have friends or relatives that have distanced themselves, that or have even cut us off because we don't agree with them. And it feels bad. But what if we've got it wrong? What if that is a huge, a beautiful opportunity to fight like Jesus? right now, think of someone you disagree with, right? Someone you disagree with. Maybe it's about politics or the coronavirus or race, whatever it is. It shouldn't be that hard to think about someone who disagrees with you, okay? It could be someone at work or at school, you know, at the gym, maybe in your own house. Think of someone. Okay, how are you going to love them with self-sacrificial love? Ask the Holy Spirit. Maybe he's going to say, just call them up and tell them you love them. Maybe he's going to say, meet their practical needs. You know, take them to lunch or mow their lawn. It's going to take love and sacrifice from you. That's it. What are you going to commit to do? And this isn't just an act of, like, random kindness. No, this is fighting for Jesus. Do it to point to him. Do it so you can talk about him. Do it because you love him. Okay, before we end, let's step back for a minute. Right? If we're followers of Jesus, then God has picked us, he has empowered us with the Holy Spirit to be his heroes, to fight like Jesus, to use self-sacrificial love, to be Jesus' witnesses. And Jesus, he has won, he is winning, and he will win. This world will be made perfect again when it is full of his body, the church. Are we part of that? Like, actually. Like active participants. If yes, great. If you are, great. You know, just keep listening to the Holy Spirit. Do what he says. If we've gotten off track, right? Maybe through hero worship, we're trying to be perfect on our own, or maybe we got off track with hero deconstruction, right? We fell into this self-indulgent relativism, this, you know, anti-hero business. If that's what happened to us, okay, cool. Time for a course correction, right? We've unpacked the way of Jesus today. Get on that path. Go down that path. But you know, I think there's another group of us who we're not doing it right and we're not doing it wrong. We're just not doing it, right? We're just stuck, right? We're not on any path. We're just like observers. And this is part of Samson's story too. He experiences this. Probably the most famous part of Samson's story is the end, when he has his dysfunctional love affair with Delilah, right? He gets his hair cut, the Spirit of God leaves him. Because he loses his super strength, the Philistines capture him, they gouge out his eyes, and they put him in prison to grind grain. And Samson is stuck. He's not even an anti-hero anymore. It's grim for Samson. And then one day, the Philistines have a party. And they bring out blind Samson for entertainment, right? And they've got him at the party there, and they put him next to the two big giant pillars that hold up the whole temple, the building they're all in. And Samson, he cries out to God, and he's like, God, remember me. Remember me, Samson, just one more time. And God gives him the strength to push over those pillars, and the whole temple comes crashing down, and Samson kills more Philistines in death than he did in life. And this story points to the fact that God has got his limits with his heroes, but he never leaves us. We can always go back to him. And look, I know what this feels like. I know what it feels like to be following Jesus and for it to be good, right? You pray for people and whoa, they're healed. And you tell people about Jesus and they actually believe and you feel the power and you know this is real and it is so good. And you know, I want Jesus, but I also want what I want. And I've got my own Delilah, my own sin of choice that will betray me. And in my story, it wasn't as dramatic as Samson. I didn't get my eyes gouged out. But I did spend years in my 20s when I was stuck. I was on the sidelines, just an observer. Because God has his limits. He will not be mocked. And yeah, he works through flawed people, but he also loves us enough to stop working through us and let our sin create some distance to bring us to repentance. If that's where you're at today, maybe it's sexual sin like Samson, Or maybe it's selfishness or pride or lack of forgiveness like Samson. You know, whatever has got you stuck, whether it's greed or envy, gluttony, you know, you're stuck in some addiction, God is still there. You can turn back to him today. Holy Father, you know, remember me. I confess, I repent of this sin. I want to love you more than I love this sin. I want your power in my life. I want to actually serve you. Amen. Again, if we're followers of Jesus, right, we have been picked, we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be God's heroes, to fight like Jesus, to use self-sacrificial love to be God's witnesses, Jesus' witnesses in this world. Are we in? It is a great privilege to be part of this. Say yes to Jesus, right? Humbly say, yes, I'm going to do this. And I am so excited to see in this next season what God does in us and what he does through us. So let's press into this. I'm going to invite you to stand up right now. We're going to move into ministry time, and we're going to talk to God about this and see what he has to say to us personally. If you're online, I encourage you to just take a posture of listening to Jesus right now. I'm going to invite the ministry team to come forward, folks that can pray for us. If you're online, you can click the request prayer button. So let's draw close to God and speak with him. God, I welcome your presence here even more. Holy Spirit, come. For some of us, I know we're not followers of Jesus. So we're thinking, maybe this doesn't apply to us, but we're curious, and we think we might want to give it a try. And if that's where we're at, Lord, I ask that you just help us to say yes to you right now. Yes to you living the life that we should have lived. Yes to you dying the death that we should have died. Let us accept that gift. And then God, for all the followers of Jesus in this room and listening to us online, whatever room they are in, I pray that you send your Holy Spirit. You fill them with your presence and your power, and you help them to see that they have been chosen, they have been picked and set apart by you to be different. And you've given them that power in them, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be your witnesses, to be heroes for God, to act differently in this world. We have all we need in us. And we can come as flawed individuals. We don't have to pretend we're perfect. We don't have to try to act perfect. We just need to open ourselves up and let God work through us. God, let us do that now. Give us the strength to cooperate with you. And God, for some of us, I think we've been off track in how we've been fighting. We've been fighting. We've been telling people how wrong they are, and we've been punching them either verbally or maybe even physically, and we've been trying to get revenge, and we've been returning evil for evil. So God, let us stop and let us fight like you. Let us use love to help you conquer this world. God, show us the people, even see their faces now, that you would have us love, even enemies in our life, that you would have us love. And then God, for those of us that we are stuck on the sidelines and we can see the sin right there, we know it, it's right there, it's keeping us from experiencing you and your power. God, take it right now. Help us to confess that. Help us to just say, yeah, I agree with you, God. That is wrong, and I am doing that, and I want to stop. I want you more. Lord, just bring incredible forgiveness and healing right now. As you draw us back to you. You never leave us, even though we may feel like we are in the desert. We are all alone and we are stuck. We are not. You are right there with us. Bring us back to you. Come, Holy Spirit. You have incredible things that you are going to do in this world. Do them through us. Give us that privilege. You love us so much. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, again, I'm going to invite the ministry team to come forward. And if any of this is resonating with you, we would love to pray for you. A way to respond is to let someone pray for you. Maybe you have trouble in your life realizing the fact that you are chosen and God is sending you out. Let someone pray for you. Maybe you've gotten off on the wrong track a little bit. We'd love to pray for you for that. If sin is a thing in your life, or maybe you just want to celebrate God's calling in your life and how he's empowered you, let us pray for that. If there's anything you need prayer for, you know, if you're struggling with your finances or you need physical healing in your relationships, God has something for you this morning. Receive that before you go. Come up, get some prayer, click the button online if you're watching. We'd love to pray for you. Now, they're going to lead us in some more worship, and I'm going to encourage you just to stay. Like I said, God has something for you. Receive it before you go. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.